Anyone else have something? Worship prepares our hearts. It really does. Daily, worship. Worship is a way to pursue that love, because 1 Corinthians 14 is just a continuation of Paul's letter that says these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. And then he says, pursue this love. Get after this love. Go after this love. You know? If things are attacking us in our lives, pursue that love God is talking about. The revelation of that love that he has for you. See, it doesn't really matter. Nothing else matters if we can keep ourselves focused. Listen, God loves me. I'm so sorry, Vicki, that someone would tell you that you were found under a pile of manure. You know? I mean, and yet, probably at the time your wonderful husband rescued you, you were somewhat under a pile of manure. You weren't born under it, but it had been piled on you. You know? We all were under a pile of manure until the truth set us free. You can call it whatever you want, but manure is really a pretty good description. You know, the Apostle Paul said, I count it all as manure compared to what, you know. So it may be that unknowingly, like a king or like a Pharisee said, that it's better for one to die than for the whole nation to die, that he's speaking prophetically. It may be that a statement like that to you was prophetic. You would be rescued. The world piles things on because the world doesn't want us to see the light, doesn't want us to know the truth, because the Word of God says the truth will make us free. The devil doesn't want us to be free, so he doesn't want us to know the truth. And so whenever something comes up, we confess the situation rather than the solution. As Vicki said, she was concerned that her mind would wander. She said, oh, Lord, I'm afraid my mind's going to wander. And then she adequately covered it. She said, probably because of my confession. Everybody's mind wanders. But we always can choose to focus on what is true. And we have these opportunities. We have an opportunity to simply believe that we bear treasures in these earthen vessels. If we choose to believe that, then no matter what, we've got a treasure that will contradict and counteract the trash. We've got within us whatever it takes to overcome whatever comes at us. The Word became man, John 1, verse 14, and lived among us. And we saw his divine greatness, the greatness that belongs to only the Son of the Father. And the Word was full of grace and truth. So what made Jesus able to live and walk the way that he lived and walked? He was full of grace and truth. And Scripture says you're full of the same thing. What are we full of? Grace and truth. What is available to us if we're not full of it? Grace and truth. Because you see, we aren't full of grace and truth until we come to know Jesus. When we come to know Jesus, now, as Vicki said, we are a big deal. And in the message that God gave to Vicki and said, you've got grace. You've got what you need. It's putting it into practice. It's choosing to let that flow. What will we let flow? You see, we want to let grace and truth flow, first of all, toward ourselves. I mean, that's what we need. We'll feel better when we believe it for ourselves. Now, sometimes people get that confused and they try to get the goodness that God has for us out of doing something for God. But that doesn't last, because that doesn't change the original problem. That doesn't change anything. Doing something is a momentary feel good. But being something is always feeling good. Paul said, I am that I am. I am what I am because of him. Quite simply, so that if anybody accused him and said, yeah, I know you, I know what you did, he said, yeah, but now look what I am. Look at me now. I am what I am because of him. Oh, he said, I was the worst of everybody. I mean, I was the worst of all. No doubt about it. I had a lot. It was dung. I was the worst of all, but now look at me. Look at me now. You know? I mean, there are some things that we can do to trigger the truth. And, you know, maybe sometimes that is, yeah, look in the mirror and say, look at you now. I think Spurgeon, one of the old prophets, used to always stand in front of the mirror and say, you are a child of God. John G. Lake said that. Yeah, you know, he said, he'd tell himself, you're a child of God. You're a man of God. You're just dressed in people's clothing. I don't know the exact words, but that was what he would tell himself. Why would he tell himself that? Because he was going out. He was a plumber. Even when he was a plumber, he would declare that to himself. You know? I mean, nowadays, a plumber is just a little bit like God, because not too many people want to do it. And when your toilet won't flush, you need God. You need it to flush. I don't know, you know, you don't think about this that much when you go to the bathroom, but you know what? Aren't you thankful that you can flush the toilet? Amen. I mean, I'm thankful for that. I bet those people in Rome, when they figured out how to get that stuff out without having to go out and dig a hole, I bet they were thankful, but not for long. It just became something that was, you know, common everyday practice. Well, you see, our love for God can just become a common and not necessarily everyday practice. It can become a thing of, well, I'm just not feeling it, so I'm not pursuing. I have a suggestion. If you're not feeling it, run faster. Pursue it harder until you feel it. Because our God is an awesome God, and he is worthy of our praise. And he does do abundantly above and beyond what we can hope or imagine. And so that word became full of grace and truth. And so when I read that today, I thought, what am I full of? I want to always be full of grace and truth. Now, the truth of the matter is I am always full of grace and truth because I'm full of Christ. But I want my words to be full of grace and truth. I want my thoughts to be full of grace and truth. And if I want them, then I can pursue them so that when other thoughts or other words try to come, grace and truth can swoop past them and get out first. So perhaps then when Jesus said things like, you have not because you ask not, then if that's what I want, that's what I need to ask for. See, because if that's working in my life, everything else can be added to me. And so the enemy tries to get us to ask for anything and everything else. Well, it's okay to ask for anything and everything else, but let's ask for the important thing first. Seek the first things first. More of you, Lord. More of you. You are my desire. So, If I ask, I mean, I don't need to ask anybody else that question. They need to ask me that question. If I ask me that question, it wouldn't take me long to figure out where grace and truth has not been what came out. But I don't want to focus on those. I'm not going to ignore them. But I'm going to look and say, I can fix that. I can fix that. I'm going to pursue God because Jesus Christ came. Remember, we talked about messengers and that we are messengers. We have a message. And if we're going to talk about the message, then the best way to figure out the message is to look at the messenger. Who was the message? Jesus was the message, and he was the messenger at the same time. Jesus was our first glimpse of God in flesh. Now, before Christ, we saw what God could do. But that didn't impress anybody for very long. They would forget God because God was far away. And when God spoke to them, they pushed him far away and they said, we don't want to talk to him, you talk to him. And we'll do whatever he says. But they lied, they wouldn't do whatever he said. They only did whatever he said after everything had fallen apart, and then they cried out, and then God came and rescued them, and they lied to him again and said, oh, we'll do whatever you say. I'll do whatever you say. When they're training a dog and they use a shock collar, you know, they get the shock and the dog says, I'll do whatever you say. But they don't always remember after the first shock. And they do have this in common with people. They can do whatever you say for quite a while and then all of a sudden they can just go brain dead. Something strikes them. And so God decided to send the message in the messenger so that we could see God in man. So that we could see the prototype of who we are. Now, it takes a pursuing of that truth to really have it consume our lives. Because you see, to look and to say Jesus was the prototype of who I am, in other words, he was the first version of me. Now, when they design cars, they have prototypes. Now, sometimes the prototypes are out there and it's years and years and years before anybody will ever drive one other than the test people. And they'll have shows and they'll show them. But nobody can buy one. But the potential for it is all there. Now, when they do that, some of the things in the prototype they don't ever produce. It's just a nice thing to show people. And some of the things they perfect and some of the things they get just right. I discovered something when I was in Russia one time, and that is that like the Russians, they get Ford cars over there that we don't get here to start with. They try them out over there. They were trying out the manual shift automatics in Russia. I'd never seen one in America. Dima said, oh, you don't get these yet. He was pretty proud of that. He was very right. But after they survived Russia, then they decided it was okay for us to have safe in America. I never told Dima that. But, you know, I mean, they have this. And so when we say Jesus was a prototype of us, we sort of dismiss a lot of the stuff. We look at it like a car prototype of, yes, but that's not out there for us. But that's not what God said. Jesus said, you go and do likewise. How did he do what he did? Full of grace and truth. And God told us this morning, grace You got it. See, it's there. It's there. And we need to search for it and pursue it like we do when we've got, when I have something in my garage that I know that I've got. And I seek and I pursue it. And I quit, and then I seek and I pursue it some more. And even after I've gone and purchased the very thing because I know that I had it somewhere, I don't give up on seeking and pursuing it. It just, I get near the garage and it's like, I got to look one more time. I know it's here somewhere. See, that's how we need to be about what God has given us. I know it's here. And the thing about it is that it's not difficult to access it. If you can believe, all things are possible. You see, it's when we just shift. We just shift and say, it is true. And it's mine. And that's how I'm going to begin to operate. We can find it in the manual so easy. This wasn't really a car message, but you think about automobiles, and you get in an automobile, and if you don't read the manual, you spend a lot of time playing with buttons nowadays. You know? Figuring out how to make things work. Now, with me, I am sort of a manual reader, selective manual reader. Some things I think I know, but the things I don't think I know it's in there to look at, but the problem is I'm usually driving, trying to figure it out, and I'm not sure that it's good practice to get the manual, I've done it though, and read and try to figure it out. Some things I don't have to know exactly how to operate right away. But it's there. And nowadays, if it's not there, you can Google it. And you can find out about it. See, and we pursue things, folks. We pursue things. We research things. We can pursue and research anything we want to buy, anything we want to sell. We'll pursue and we'll research it to make sure that it's just right. We can do it. Well, God says you can do it. You can do it. You can stand up, as Vicky stood up and said, it's a miracle of God that I can stand up here and say that I'm free. And if we stand up and say it, then that means we can walk in it. So that means that any time an attack comes, any time an accusation comes, any time something comes up, we say, oh, no, I'm free. I am free to run. I am free. It's a miracle that we can say that. And an extra miracle that we can live like it and walk in it and grab it and seek it and pursue it and find it. When you seek me, God said, you'll find me. When you find me, you found the whole works. And so the enemy is like this, playing defense on us. Holding up big signs that say other things. Drawing curtains. Yeah, that's what I said. That was the picture I got, and I was thinking, I want to rent the curtain on truth and grace in my life. I want to get that curtain out of the way. In all things. I know that truth and grace operate in my life in some things, but I know better than anyone else that it doesn't always operate the way that God intended. Well, that's foolishness, because if it's not operating, what is it costing me? We are cost-effective people. I'm an exceptionally cost-effective person. You know? I do the dollars and cents on things. I got this wild urge and I sold my Jetta. Now, I didn't think it would sell so quick, but I just had this thought, you know what? I'm really sort of tired of dealing with whether it's going to start in the cold or it's not going to start in the cold. I'm really, really, it's really a lot more difficult to change the oil. Then I just changed the fuel filter. I found out you're supposed to do that more often than I did, so it was probably wonderful that it was running, you know. I changed the fuel filter. I had it for 40,000 miles before I changed the fuel filter. It was working. Why bother, you know? But then I thought, well, since I changed the fuel filter, that might make it start better in the cold. Well, it didn't necessarily fix the starting in the cold, you know. And I just sort of had that thought, and I pursued, and I figured what kind of gas mileage I'd have to get. And then diesel jumped, and it was $1.30 a gallon more than the regular gasoline. I thought, boy, that must be my sign. But still, mile per gallon is not too much difference when you're getting 42. You know, what has this got to do with anything? Except I figure, okay, if I can figure that much on that, why don't I pursue grace and truth? I didn't think it was going to sell in 6 hours. I thought I had a couple of weeks to drive. And some guy says, I want to look at the car. And I get in, and he gets in, he drives it. He said, will you take this much? I said, no. I get home, he calls me, and he says, I'll give you what you're asking. Wait, maybe I want to change what I'm asking. I need to think about this more. I need to figure more. But then that, you know, I got a responsibility as a pastor. I better keep my word. And I had told him I was over for jail chapel. And I mean, it doesn't take a real whiz to figure out that if I wasn't in jail, I was the guy doing the chapel. So I said, okay, I'll keep my word. With seller's remorse. But not total remorse, you know. I drove it for 3 years. I saved this. Oh, really? I figured this out. I figured out how much I saved in gas. I figured, you know what? I got hit in that parking lot, and they couldn't fix it because they didn't have all the parts. So instead of everything being fixed, 2 screws held the bumper on. So all of the cash from that I had paid for the... And I sold it for more than I bought it for. It was a great deal. But now I don't have anything really to drive. But it really doesn't make any difference. You know? The thing is that we will seek and pursue and figure a lot of things. And we've got this seek, pursue, and figure of God that is really so easy. It's really so simple. If we can just overcome the devil who's playing defense and holding up signs and lying to us and putting false things in our minds, because anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God is false. If we've come to the place where we've decided that God is true and that's it, no matter what, God's true. It's just God's true. God's true. I'm just going to stand on that because it works better than anything else. So why go back to something else if you found something that works the best? Huh? I mean, you see, when we look at it logically, it's just easy. But we can't think of all this stuff at once. No, we don't. God. Just call God. Just wait. And he'll process everything back through for us. And it will all make sense again. You know, I didn't just sell my car on a whim. God and I had already talked about it first. You know. And I was real secure in what God had said. But attachment to that critter caused me to feel bad about it for a moment. But I could feel God saying, I thought we decided on this. Yeah, I know. And it felt really good when I decided. And it really felt good when, I mean, ma'am, bam, paid the price I asked. Whoa! Wait a minute. The car's gone. You know, the great plan is great, but now it's gone. But we can get over that. And Jesus came full of grace and truth and showed us about grace and truth. And you see, the grace and the truth was operating in Jesus when he was fishing and cooking fish. And when he was just sitting enjoying children, it was there, it was operating. To the outside, it looked like it must have been on a serious idol. I mean, he wasn't in ministry mode. But he was full of grace and truth, ready at any moment. He just hung out at the well. He was tired. It wasn't like, oh, I've got to find the well because there's a woman coming and I'm going to minister to her and I'm going to change the world and I'm going to have another story for the Bible. No, it was, you guys go on, I'm tired. And he rested. And the woman came and grace and truth just washed over her. You see, your messengers, and not only are you messengers, but you're full of grace and truth. And the preparation is in you to defend the hope that lies within you. It's all there. And so sometimes it's you that you have to talk to about the hope that is within you. Right? David, oh, Saul, what's the matter with you? We better praise a while. Let's just praise a while. You know, I will yet praise the Lord. I'm not going to yet praise the Lord unless I get warmed up somewhere. And so, you know, full of grace and truth. 2 Corinthians tells us that the message is hidden to some. It's hidden to the lost. Guess who's supposed to reveal it to them? We are. We can't have some bad attitude about people that are lost. They can't see. You know? I hope none of you walk down the street and see somebody with a cane and say, look at that stupid blind person. Walking down the street, tap them with a cane. That's just stupid. No, you don't do that. You know? You want to help them. If you see them with their cane and the car's coming, you wait! And so we are messengers full of grace and truth, recognizing what a miracle it is that we can say we're free. What a joyous thing it is to know God. Blessed are you because it's been given to you to understand. We remind ourselves, what is it that we understand? What do I understand? Do I sound like I understand or do I sound like I've forgotten? Ooh, were those words full of grace and truth, or were they full of me? And what am I full of now? You see, it's real simple. We just enter into the rest. In Hebrews, I think it says, you know, be careful lest you fail to enter into the rest. See, because this is all impossible unless we enter into the rest. But if we enter into the rest of God, just makes sense. And the prototype operates in us. And so that's what God wants us to desire. To desire that, to seek after, to pursue. Get after it! I want that because when those things are operating and flowing through us, it's like, everything works. I love it when a plan comes together. It just came out. It had to be God because it just came out. Or in the midst of craziness, peace just came upon me. Oh, the truth and grace is working. In the midst of a hopeless situation, I was just sure it was going to work out. Able to encourage others, it'll be okay, and know it and believe it. And grace and truth pours into someone else and they receive it. And not everybody will receive it because some are still blind, but there's something about being exposed to it that works. And we have to believe that it works whether we see the results or not. Because you see, a messenger simply delivers the message. And in the old days, when a king sent a message, the messenger didn't even know what the message said, but they were devoted to the king, and it was sealed up, and they delivered it, and what effect it had on the one it was delivered to didn't make any difference to them. They just delivered it. But now God came. He sent Jesus, the messenger. He gave us a message. We have understanding of the message, but it's still the same process. We deliver it, and what it accomplishes is entirely up to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The old thing of don't shoot the messenger. You know? Well, from now and then, people might want to shoot the messenger, but it don't matter. They just don't see. But we, like Paul, can say, well, you know, I am what I am because of him. If you don't like it, blame him. If you don't like me telling you the truth, then you just have to blame God. As long as I'm telling the truth with grace and truth. Amen. Father, we thank you that we come and you join us in worship and we hear from you and we feel your presence and you encourage us. That you filled us with the goods and that we can share the goods and that you'll take care of the outcome of the goods. But we just want to operate and reveal what you have really filled us with. So, Father, in the midst of the season of the celebration of the birth of Christ, it's just normal operating procedure for us because every day is a celebration of the birth of Christ, the growth of Christ in our lives, the birth of Christ in other lives, having people get ears to hear. We didn't always hear, but now we do. You rescued us all out of a pile. And we're thankful, and we give you glory, and we give you honor, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.